Papa. And they danced around the bride and groom 7 times, and they sing a song, the klezmer band that I told you about before, with the accordion and the clarinet and the fiddle and the tambourines. They would have played something that sounded like this while they danced around the bride and groom 7 times. Mazel tov, a simen tov, a mazel tov, a simen tov, a mazel tov, a simen tov, a mazel tov, a simen tov. Ya la 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 la. Ya la 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 la. Ya la 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 la. Ya la 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 la. Ya la 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 la. And then all the guests sat down. And Samuel got up to toast the bride and groom, and everyone stood up with their wine glasses, and they drank the wine. Samuel had said to my daughter, Hannah, and her new husband, a good life of health and happiness. Everyone drank the wine except Herschel. You know what he did? He pulled out his pants, and he poured the wine down his pants. There was a lot of snickering. What is this going on? That's how it went the whole meal. He took the chicken and he put it in his pocket and smashed it down. He took the soup and took off his top hat and spooned in the soup. He took his boots and he put the peas in the boots. And he took the mashed potatoes and he put them in the other pocket. He took the carrot simmons, he stuck it inside the shirt. To top it all off, the children tried to imitate him until their parents stopped them. He took the apricot strudel and he smeared it all the way down the front of that white silk shirt. And finally, Samuel could stand it no longer and he stood up and said, Herschel, what kind of meshuggah, what kind of crazy man are you? I invited you here because you're a wise man. But instead, you're not teaching us anything or saying anything wise. You're acting like a crazy man. Herschel said, no, I'm not. I've been teaching you all evening. You just haven't been listening. When I first came to this house, my clothes were a little torn and dirty, and you pushed me away. So I went to a friend's house, and I borrowed some fancy clothes. And when I came back, you invited me in, and you gave me the seat of honor. So I came in, and I'm feeding my clothes. Because you didn't invite me in, you invited my clothes, so I'm feeding my clothes. And with that, he took a glass of wine, he opened up his pocket, and he poured it in. He said, drink well, my coat. And with that, he left. When he got home, Rachel was already asleep. So the next morning, Rachel was sweeping, and Herschel was sitting in there, and she said, well, Herschel, so new, how was the wedding? Oh, Rivka, you were right. You were right about that. I came to the wedding, and I was not treated the way I expected. We could have dressed your broom up, and the broom would have been invited in. You know what? Why fools look at men's clothes. Wise men look at their souls. And with that, he grabbed Rivka with her broom, and he started dancing around the room, humming the tune from the night before. A mazel tov, a simen tov, a mazel tov, a simen tov, a mazel tov, a simen tov, a mazel tov, a simen tov. Ya la 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 la. Ya la 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 la. Ya la 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 la. Ya la 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 la. Ya la 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 la. Thank you.
My thanks to you, Linda, for sharing some of your wonderful stories from a Jewish culture. And we appreciate so much your being here on the Florida Folklife Area stage and taking a few extra minutes to help us maintain the stage while our next person comes up. As you know, our theme this year for the Folk Festival is storytelling. And stories abound in all of our cultures and in all of our lives. Storytelling can be stories like we've just heard that come from a specific culture that many people in that culture know, or they can be personal experience stories, which we all have, and that's also a part of folk life. And we share these stories through telling, sometimes through gossip, which is a form of storytelling and folklore, and sometimes through sharing within our families and then sharing within groups. And this morning, I'm real pleased to have two representatives that will be doing explaining to you about sign language. Now, sign language and the groups that live within the signing community, that is a community within itself. And we have two people with us here this morning. Diane Deloge, who is to my right and in the denim outfit, has been one of our sign interpreters here at the Folk Festival for many, many years. Diane lives in Orange Park, but she works in St. Augustine at the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind, and she's been signing for approximately 14 to 15 years. And she's a well-known person here at the Florida Folk Festival. And she has with her this morning Joanna Marsh. Now, Joanna Marsh is going to be sharing with you some of her personal experiences of what it's like to be a person that relies entirely on sign language for communication. And she has with her her dog, Shadow, and Shadow is a hearing ear dog. Now, Diane will be signing and speaking for Joanna. Joanna will be explaining her life, her experiences, and what it's like to be a signer. And Joanna and Diane, we're so pleased to welcome you this morning to the Folk Life Area stage, and I'm going to ask that you come up on the stage. We're going to give you, Diana, a mic, and I'm going to ask that both of you come to the central part of the stage for me. Now, Diane, you will be doing some verbal interpretation for us as well as signing. Diana will need a mic, and Joanna will be in the center here with her dog, Shadow. Let's welcome both of them, or all three of them, to our Folk Life Area stage.
Stay. Can you hear me? Is this on? I'm lousy about being able to hear that. I'll just sit out here. Excuse me. Stay, we're working now. Where'd you go? You want me to stand there? Okay. She wants that. Okay. Fine. You know my name is Joanna. This is Shadow. I've only been deaf for about 8 years now. I grew up hearing. I could hear everything, all the music. So now I need to remember. I have her to interpret for me, but I need to remember also the way the music sounded. Because I have still, I love to play it, and it's different when they play it now. I need to remember, kind of memorized everything. I became deaf when I was 20 years old. Because I had a high fever. I had chicken pox. I never thought that I would need to have signing skills. I started to learn sign language because I thought it was interesting. I was fascinated by it. I picked up every sign really quickly. It was really easy for me. But now I needed that skill. I needed to use it. So I was happy I had learned some of the signs. When I got Shadow, it was kind of hard to change. I depended on her so much. I had depended on people before. So now I had to learn to depend on her. And that was hard because I really, really liked to depend on other people. Oh, I really didn't like to. I wanted to be independent for myself. So I think it's better with Shadow. Really, she shows me different sounds that I never even noticed before. She's more alert for me. It's a different kind of control. It's like I'm driving sometimes. And she'll hear something. She'll hear a sound for me that I never even would have noticed. And I didn't see. So sometimes I have to stop the car and I'll go, okay. Thank you for informing me. Wait, please. Stay there. Do you want to move? She knows sign language. Sometimes she also uses her voice. I'll use my voice for her. It kind of depends on where we are. Like when we go into a restaurant, sometimes I'll use sign language with her. And sometimes I'll use my voice. It really depends on the situation. A lot of the time in a restaurant, people will complain about her. They don't want to let her in. I have to inform them that I have to inform them of the law that you can let a hearing ear dog in. And a lot of the times, they'll let her in and she'll hide under the table and she'll stay there. And when we leave, then they complain because they never saw her before. They didn't know she was there. She was so quiet. In other places around, like on an airplane, she comes with me on the plane. It's kind of neat. She's very nervous about that because of the sounds. There's so much noise from the engines. She's been in a variety of places. This is her first time camping. She's very interested. It's interesting for me to know now that I can camp with her. I never done that before. It's really sort of a gained some confidence seeing how she reacts and what she can do. She's hearing a sound right now and telling me about it. It's okay, it's okay. There was a man who made an announcement over there. Okay. Sometimes, if she sees a new animal sometimes, she'll look at the animal and then she'll come to me. When I sign for her, she accepts it and walks on by. She just wanted to know the name of the animal. Like a raccoon, she saw it for the first time. She stared at it, stared at me, stared at it. I said, raccoon. And she went on by. Fine. Didn't bother her at all. Sometimes I feel that she thinks that she's the only dog in the world. When she sees other dogs, she doesn't know what to do. It's kind of strange sometimes with her. I know she grew up with other dogs. She was trained with other dogs. But she doesn't know what to do. A lot sometimes I have to teach her what to do. To teach her different ways to play with other dogs. And not to play too rough, but to play gentle and easy. And she likes to play, but with other dogs, she gets really jealous. I have to teach her about that. To not to become too jealous. Not to fight. I have to stop the fights. Well, are there any questions? She's a lab mixture with chow. And what's that? Retriever. Lab, chow, and retriever. She's called a mutt. Oh, the dog? How old was she when she got training? She was 3 years old when they trained her. I got her when she was 1 year old. She'd finished training. She trained for 1 year after that, and she learned how to pick up sounds and inform me about sounds. Like the telephone, or someone knocking on the door, or if a person comes up behind me. A variety of sounds. Still, I'm teaching her some sounds. Like the microwave oven, when the alarm goes off. She needs to inform me about that. She's still working on that because it's such a short sound. It's hard for her to hear it sometimes. She likes to be outside when I'm cooking, so that's hard. I need to teach her to pay attention to that sound. Any more questions? Oh, there's one. Do I need to say this into the tape? Do I need to say the questions into the tape recorder? Okay. They're tape recording this, so I need to say again the question for the microphone. How does she inform you? What is the signal she uses to inform you that there's a sound going by? It's a variety of ways. Sometimes she'll stand up and jump on me. Other times she'll sort of nudge me or push me or pull on the leash. I have to watch her behavior. I have to think, oh, she's looking at something. Sometimes her ears alert like that. And I think, oh, okay, see, there's a sound, and I'll start looking around and find it. How are the dogs selected for training? They go to the pound. They look for a dog that is very calm, not really excited, because a lot of the times in the house, they don't really want a dog that's going to be running around and jumping around like that. So they really depend on, the dog needs to be dependable for the person. With me, I had a choice what kind of dog I wanted. I told him, kind of small, not too big, because I myself am not very big. They said, okay, I'm kind of really little dog. I said, no. No, a little bigger than that, please. So, really, they looked for me. They asked me if I had a dog before. I said, no, not really. It doesn't really matter what kind. What? Oh, a pure. I didn't really care whether it was a purebred. Most of the time they try to get a mixed breed because they're calmer, actually, like she is now. Any more questions? If someone attacked you, would she be aggressive and defend? Yes, she's very defensive of me, protective of me. One time, I was playing with my brother, and it became kind of rough. She tried to attack him to defend me. It was kind of funny playing, but she didn't think so, and she didn't know that. So we had to stop that. Do you work? Yes, I work. I'm a teacher at a deaf school in Atlanta, Georgia. I really teach some deaf kids and some deaf-blind kids, both, at high school age. A variety of skills, job skills, how to get a job and keep a job, what to do on the job, a variety of things. Some of our kids work at Chili's, so they have to learn how to work there. And I learn first, and then I teach them. It's hard working and learning how to teach them clearly everything, what to do. Again? Did you hear before? Yes, I grew up hearing. I loved music. I love dance. I loved playing music in high school. I was in different bands in high school. After that, I lost everything. When I lost my hearing, I gave up all that. But I tried to keep playing because I could hear some of the music. So I kept playing music, but It was hard. It was really hard for me. I knew that I could go dancing, but I knew that I needed a little bit of hearing for that. First, so I didn't want to. Then I was invited to go to a dance, and I learned how to follow the people and watch, and I learned it really quickly. Any more questions? Can you remember how music would sound if you read it? Yes. Yes. I was taught how to read music all growing up, all my life. And my father loved music. So I got that love of music from him, and I began to play piano. And I learned how to memorize. And I learned from, I was taught how to sort of read the music and play it, then play it on the piano, look up and read it and play it on the piano. Any more questions? Okay. You can ask. You want to ask a question? Do you have a cat? No, my mother and father have the cat. And Shadow likes the cat. The black cat, she doesn't really like, but the other one she likes. She was attacked by a black cat when she was little, so she doesn't like black cats now. How would she react if someone petted her when she was working? She would get really close to me, and she would look at me for permission. And sometimes I would tell her, that's all right, that's fine, it's okay. And sometimes I would tell the person, please don't pet her, she's working now. Really, it just depends on the situation. Sometimes it's more educational for people to learn that it's all right to pet her. That she's not really a mean dog, because she's not. Any more questions? How old were you when you lost your hearing? I was 20 years old. Do you play the piano now? Yes. I like to sit where the bass is because I can feel that. And that helps a lot. How many words does a dog know in sign language? I really don't know that. Really, she has a communication kind of sign. She looks at me. If we two are talking and communicating, I'll notice that she'll be watching us back and forth. She knows and she understands a lot of times. Sometimes maybe we'll be talking about her. She'll alert to that real fast. And I'll tell her, it's okay, you know we're talking about you. Yeah, her ears are listening now. Any more questions? Okay. Yeah, it's not really common, but it's begun recently. A lot of people that meet with her wish that they knew a dog who would be able to sign, because dogs can't understand sign language. Because a lot of the time, in different situations, you don't want to be shouting for your dog. For her, She accepted it because she paid attention to me. She picked it up. When I clap, she looks up at me. See? It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. You can stay there. But they know the clapping, she'll alert. She'll come to me wherever she is. I'm sorry. I didn't catch you. Yeah? Fine, but I'm sure that that happens, because so many of the times, if she wants to tell me about a sound, like maybe something would make her afraid, or she looks really nervous, then I look at her and I say, okay, it's all right, and I use that sign, fine, it's all right, and I know that she'll calm back down. There was a question over here somewhere. Did you have one? Okay. It depends on the situation. With my mother and my father, I have to use my voice. They know about this teeny much of sign language. So for conversation, it's just not enough. So like they know eat, drink, bed. You can't have a conversation with that. So I use my voice. What? Working, I have to use my voice too. Changing their ways, mostly, it's just hard. Sometimes I feel like they haven't really accepted it yet. But that's okay. That's all right. It's a really big change. And I know all growing up I was hearing, so I know it's a big change for them. And they have to accept that and pick up the sign language and take sign language classes. They have classes. And they've taken some, but it's hard for them to remember. So I give them some idea of how to remember some of the signs. One week, I went home, and I had lost my voice that week. So I didn't have enough of a voice, so I needed to depend more on sign language. And they were looking at me like, what? And I had to start signing with them. And they started to accept that more. Are we out of time? Is that the cue I'm hearing? I think we're out of time. Oh.
Really hearing a cue. What's happened is our old-time fiddler has not shown up yet, and my feeling is if we have more that we'd like to share on this stage with Diane and Joanna, that I think we should take the time to do that. If you have to be some other place, we understand that as well. We're always sort of overscheduled here at the Folk Festival. There's a lot going on, and we found sometimes that people are scheduled to be two places at once. So you tell me.
We can stay here if you want.
I believe our audience has had a lot of questions, and one thing I'd like to say, since this is a storytelling area, what stories do, they serve several functions. One is we learn about each other, and I feel that that has very definitely happened here this morning. It's a form of sharing about your personal life and about your specific culture. And this morning we've had the privilege of having Joanna share with us her life and her experiences and what has happened to her since she has experienced deafness, and she's answered a lot of questions for us, and I think that's helped us to understand. And that's what this is all about, broadening our horizons and helping us to understand each other. And we're very appreciative of that. Are there other questions from the audience at this time?